TopHeavyweights.com, the podcast. The casual fan, Ryan Price, said just before we came on, it's the same as usual. I thought that was an appropriate line. Ryan Price, welcome to the show, the casual fan. I am Sean Rosen. I'm your host. This is TopHeavyweights.com, the podcast, and we are looking back to last weekend's action and controversy. Let's just get right to it. Ryan, the main event, we'll start with you.
Well, I did not watch the main event, but to be honest, this is sort of a sad statement, but the only thing I've seen of the main event seemed like what was the most exciting thing was the aftermath, right. With people talked about with the meeting of Usyk, and I couldn't even bring myself to watch the highlights.
Thank you from the casual fan, because that is the general feeling out there. I could talk to people that I've talked to about boxing over the last couple of years that are casual fans. Some of them are even fringe sports fans, but this would not have even been on their radar.
No, it just was not. I mean, you knew it going into it, and unfortunately, like, just from this, you know, from the, I followed the fight the night of, but I followed it just reading updates posted online, written right. updates round per round. So I was a couple minutes behind the action, but it didn't inspire me to watch it.
It was what you would have pictured. It was a slow beatdown with the sense, and I don't want to take anything away from Derek Chisora, but he was out of his depth.
Yeah.
And it was really, you know, it was mentioned online, and I suppose there's some comparisons to be made, but, you know, there was echoes of Larry Holmes versus Tex Cobb in the right. sense that it was just a beating with really one opponent having all the ammunition, the other one not having enough and not the ability to deliver. And
I'm familiar with that. I mean, I'm familiar with that fight from you showing it to me on occasion. The difference with this one, I'm not sure about the history of that one, but another fact with this one is, you know, it's nice to see two guys who are, you know, highly accomplished fighters that are good friends, you know, and then they go into the ring together. But there was something about this where it felt, you know, you had people saying like, well, this could have been over sooner. This, you know, that there was that element where you're kind of like, was this a favor? Like, I hate to say something like that, but
no, I think Tyson Fury was doing Derek Chisora a favor. Yeah. By giving him this fight. And, you know, I hate to be blunt about it, but Derek Chisora took his beating and got his paycheck.
Yeah.
And Tyson Fury got in what he wanted, was 10 rounds of essentially glorified sparring, which is what Usyk called it.
Yeah, which, you know, it's
good
again,
sparring.
You know, it's good sparring, and this is, you know, obviously people showed up and paid the ticket price.
I was amazed. It was an enormous event. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I'm just not sure that what it does. You know, at some point, I guess maybe the proof's in the pudding that you don't have to think about this yet, but in my mind, I'm kind of like, you have to think of what's better for the sport. I mean, you do have competition now with heavyweight boxing. I mean, you have UFC, you have things that other people are turning to. Yeah. And I think at some point they've got to start thinking like, this is what's going to damage the sport and what's going to do the sport good.
It's, I mean,
just frustrating.
It is frustrating, but I do believe that we all have to be reminded as we follow this, that it is a business disguised as a sport.
Right. Yeah. And it is these, I mean,
it is a sport, of course.
They've earned the right to be where they are and all that sort of stuff. And to be honest, I mean, looking at Tyson Fury, I'm like, he looks physically, he looks like he's in great shape.
No, he's the heavyweight champion. He's the WBC lineal heavyweight champion. He is, you know, the de facto number one heavyweight in the world right now. And he deserves all the credit in the world, all the respect in the world. It's just that when you're reporting on the heavyweight division and you are considering its history and the highs and lows and the general parameters that it's judged by, you know what is and what isn't. There's no way to cover it up. So this was a voluntary defense, and it was quite a beating. And I can't remember much of it. All I can think about is Tyson Fury throwing a left jab or a left hook and hitting Chisora as he came around.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
Chisora winging a few and some good body shots. But no, that was it. And that's your highlights. Yeah. I mean, Tyson Fury wins TKO 10 at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, London.
And it is, you know, it's more just what happens next that is much more interesting.
And that's it. I mean, he had the exchange with Usyk. I shouldn't say exchange, as Usyk just stared at him and he hollered.
Yeah.
Joe Joyce was there. And
seen before with other Ukrainian fighters in the past, sort of that classic.
Oh yeah, he's like stone, and but it's all smoke and mirrors until paperwork is signed, and we are being made to understand that Tyson Fury wants to have elbow surgery. I don't know if you heard about that.
I did. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So.
Hurdle.
Yeah. Another hurdle and another time frame to pass by while that hurdle is being. And by the way, again, fighter's health comes first. Obviously, it's not. I think that's the thing. It's important to reiterate that the frustration is with circumstance, not so much the people involved in the circumstances. It's just things happen and pressures come about, and they come out in different ways. So,
yeah. Now, do you think Usyk will want to take another fight? He's got to wait for a. Elbows?
That's a good question.
When's his last fight?
His last fight was against Anthony Joshua a few months ago, and he won the rematch and reconfirmed his status as the unified heavyweight champion, and without a doubt, if not number one, and I don't know how many people believe that. I think even he himself admits he's the number two guy. He's the de facto number one contender for the undisputed championship. If Tyson Fury was undisputed right now, Usyk would have beaten enough top contenders, including Anthony Joshua, to position himself the way Holyfield did when he fought Mike Tyson, the original setup, which didn't happen. Holyfield brought himself to a point where he was the number one contender and the consensus number one heavyweight to challenge the heavyweight champion. So that's a great title that has been lost because of all the fracturing of the belts and all the stuff that's going on as far as, you know, it being divided. So, so that's what we're aiming for. So we'll see.
We'll see.
On the undercard, Daniel Dubois defends his WBA regular heavyweight title with a third round TKO over Kevin Lorena. But this is a fight which is subtly rocking the boxing world.
Yeah, it is.
I think what we're reporting here on is, let's talk about the fight. Lorena dropped Dubois. This is how I saw it, and I watched it live. Lorena dropped Dubois in the first round after a feeling out process start. In other words, nobody had been really hit. I think maybe Lorena, but Dubois certainly hadn't been hit at this point in the round, first round.
Yeah.
Lorena landed a straight left, which went sort of hit the top of Dubois' head. Dubois stumbled backwards and went down with Lorena throwing punches. Dubois got up on unsteady legs. Lorena came forward. Dubois went down again, not really from any of the punches that Lorena was showing, but from what I thought as I watched it. And this is where, again, we all have our own different perceptions. My perception was Dubois didn't want to get hit again like that, and he wasn't in a position to defend himself. That's what it seemed like. Now, we could be dealing with injury as well, but it happened again.
Yeah.
Three times, three knockdowns. The round ended. Lorena proceeded to come forward. The round ended approximately 10 seconds early.
Yeah.
With Dubois on shaky legs. Now, this is all being discussed in many, many credible forums. So I'm only referring back to what has been said.
Yeah.
The appetite Dubois has for punishment. In other words, that was the first punch he received from Lorena that landed effectively, and it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And he didn't react well. Now, that could just be the way the punch landed on the equilibrium. We don't know. We give Dubois the benefit of the doubt. So that's the way it happened. Yeah. First round finishes early, and that has to be mentioned. Between rounds, a very strange broadcast. But what we got was the audio from Daniel Dubois' corner. I have not, as of yet, heard any audio from Kevin Lorena's corner. between rounds one and two. And I think that would make for an interesting listen if it could be fully blown up, because you would have expected that his corner would have been telling him to finish the job in round two without obviously losing all your energy. Lorena came out in round two and did just about as little as he could have done. He kept prodding forward with the right jab, not a threatening right jab, but a prodding right jab. And a southpaw stance, Dubois in shaky mode, Lorena not really uncorking straight left. And the round wore away.
Yeah.
And it was a strange thing to watch live. You were literally, and I've watched boxing with keen interest and detailed repeats of endless YouTube videos and watching them live. And absolutely outside the boundaries of explanation based on everything I've seen in my entire 30 years plus of watching top level boxing. So, and that's, when I say top level, I mean fighters that are in the, you know, the top 30 in the world, top 40 in the world. They're, these are important matchups. So then round three happened and more of the same from Lorena, and then Dubois sent a straight right down the pipe, which cracked Lorena's guard, and Lorena was dropped. Lorena got up and Dubois proceeded to attack. Dubois landed some good punches against the ropes. Lorena did throw a left hook back. It was a back and forth. Lorena got staggered into the ropes. And then as the bell rang, Dubois landed. There was a hellacious uppercut in there. And then the bell rang and then Dubois landed again. And the referee stepped in and stopped it. Essentially after the bell.
Essentially
after and the bell. Punch landed after the bell.
Yeah.
These things have to be said.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, no.
Lorena did not Lorena did not protest.
Nope.
And he has since been clear on social media that he felt he could have gone on, but that's boxing and that's heavyweight boxing. And he has basically said everything perfectly to make it seem like there's nothing to see here.
Yeah.
That's the signals that he's sending out. There's nothing to see here. And he couldn't be more deliberate. In other words, this is what's being talked about. This is what's being said. This is what's going around. It's, you know, it's funny. I was thinking back, if one looks at the Muhammad Ali, Sonny Liston, the second fight, the anchor punch, the punch that everyone thought was a phantom punch.
Yeah.
That, Sonny Liston was not hit by anything that should have dropped him, that let alone stopped him. If we had instant replay, different camera angles, you know, a higher quality of production and instant replays, we would have realized that it was a very heavy punch. And it caught him down low on the chin and he was coming forward. Yeah. It's about, and he didn't see
it. A lot of head movement. Yeah, no, and he didn't see it.
And he didn't see it. So those are the ones that get you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways.
And that did look like what that first shot looked like.
Right. I mean, people were yelling, fix, 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 fix. I mean, no, it wasn't so much that any of the punches were close to what we saw in the, in this fight. I think it was just the fact that it was called a fix by everyone. Everyone called it a fix.
Right.
So, I think with instant replay, that would have been seen differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Are you referring to the Ali fight?
I guess what I'm trying to say is that if you compared fights in terms of something being wrong with instant replay and everything, this Daniel Dubois Kevin Lorena fight, which was for the WBA regular title, Lorena came to win. This was the chance of a lifetime. He had knocked Dubois down three times in the first round, or had Dubois down once, and Dubois simply went down voluntarily twice.
Now,
and that's an opponent at this level that is ready to be taken.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm not saying I'm nowhere near. I can't even imagine the amount of skill and talent these guys have. they are gods of sports, metaphorically speaking, you know? So I just think, this is a far more questionable, outrageous reaction. It's a more outrageous thing.
There's too many factors that just make it strange. The not going after him, the early bell, and then the early.
And Dubois was being interviewed on BT Sport after, and they asked about his leg. He goes, "Oh, it's fine. It's fine." He went like that at one point.
That was caught as well.
It's just this thing about.
It sounds like even what's being said from his people and from him isn't exactly lining up as far as if there was a knee issue.
We're just thinking about it. And I follow this sport intensely, and I can't make heads or tails of it, but
you don't want to think the worst.
You don't want to think the worst. I mean, I don't believe you don't want to think the worst, but I think that for this to be swept under the rug and ignored, which is what the powers that be want, and topheavyweights.com, and you and I are here talking, and we're just surmising. We're free to speak. We are not connected to anybody or anything aside from our interest in the sport. I think it's highly questionable, and I think that's just a fact. And I think it's a fact. Now, again, maybe it's highly questionable. That's just the way it looks. And we move on. And it was a questionable occurrence.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
What do you think?
I'd watched the highlights, and it was strange the highlights because I showed the first round. And, from watching it from the highlights, I'm kind of like, I couldn't tell. The second when he took the second knee, I hadn't really seen what he looked like on his legs, because you're just getting clips. So I was like, but what happened with that second knockdown? And then I watching again, I was like, well, he took a shot just before it. And then it was a deliberate. He went down on his knee very deliberately.
The second one, a lot of people are debating whether it was a knockdown. I think it was.
I think so. And to be honest, I mean, that was kind of, a couple of days ago, I was going over some of the previous fights of some of these guys, and watching him against Joe Joyce, it was a very similar sort of thing where he was a deliberate, that was another case where he very deliberately turned away and was like, I have to go down on my knee here, I have to get out of this situation, and it felt very similar in a sense. It taken a shot just before, and it might have taken a second to register, but then he went down. And then the strange thing with the thing that gives me a disadvantage in looking at all is that there's no highlights yet of the second round because I think nothing really happened, but you definitely got the sense that it made no sense. You just hearing about it, you're kind of like, how can he have not come out, just going for blood? Like you see it.
Maybe not going for blood, but I mean,
sensing blood in the water.
I know what you mean. No, I mean, it's a sport. And I guess I spent the first half of the round thinking that Lorena felt he was in full control and that he just had to take his time and pick Dubois apart.
Which is possible.
But by the second half of the, I mean, when you, it's so, just
yeah. What was your impression of Dubois in the second round? Like, just, do you feel
he was still in trouble, backing up, trying to keep throw his left jab, stay out of danger, and maybe we're not giving Dubois enough credit. Maybe he employed a form of defense and danger movement that kept Lorena at bay. Again, this is what we're reporting on here. Is two things. One, there's a wide range of media outlets looking at this.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And boxing fans being outraged is nothing new.
No.
And personally, myself, I believe that there was something very odd about all that. But it could be, again, just a combination of circumstances. Who knows? You know, I just think. So that's pretty much all there is. Yeah. Sorry.
An occurrence like the early bell, is that common?
It happens.
And it's definitely confirmed. Like it wasn't because, you would see, some people saying like.
No, I mean, the bell, from the time the bell rang, until the bell rang to end, to begin the round and end the round.
Yeah,
it was definitely somewhere in the area of 2 minutes and 50 seconds.
And that, and so that does, but that does just happen occasionally.
It's happened. Listen, I was watching one of my favorite fights, George Foreman and Ron Lyle, 1976. And I can't remember which round right now, but I think it was the second round. The bell rang at 2 minutes instead of three. And there was a famous fight, I think it was in South Africa. I think it was Jerry Coetzee against Greg Page. And they were fighting for the WBA heavyweight championship. And a round ran too long. And it cost Coetzee, I think it was a round ran too long. I mean, cost Coetzee the fight. I mean, ironically, it was in South Africa that it happened. But again, that story, I'm not sure of the exact details offhand. But it happens.
Yeah, so it happens. Yeah.
Yeah, it happens.
It's
and
just, it's just a lot of stuff. There's enough. There's definitely enough for people to be raising eyebrows. And it should be. It should definitely be.
I mean, who knows? It could be. I mean, maybe the. I mean, it could be something as simple as maybe the timekeeper.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Got very worked up and nervous and just pulled the thing by accident. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's humans, right? So we don't know.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. No, no, definitely. But I think it's there's with this much attention on it. Again, as far as you know, the main event was not something that I think did wonders for the sport. But this kind of thing can really. You know, it can really harm the sport. I think I think it's a mistake to sweep it under the rug when it's this many people are talking about it and there's just too many circumstances.
Yeah, we're saying we're reporting on it here. It's being talked about. We really can't say anything more. I've heard rumblings that the WBA wants to take a look. Because, you know, another thing that is not being discussed too much, but I think the clause has already been confirmed, was that in WBA rules, and this was a WBA regular heavyweight championship, three knockdowns and the fight is over.
Yeah.
But apparently the British rules overrode that in terms of the agreed upon rules for this fight going at the beginning. Okay. So
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
We'll have to wait and see. Yeah. All right. Going forward, this Saturday from Madison Square Gardens in New York, Madison Square Garden, excuse me. December 10th, we've got Jared Anderson taking on the durable Jerry Forrest. As a casual fan, Ryan, you're following the advancements of Jared Anderson. This one, I think, is. I mean, you've looked into Jerry Forrest and what's going? Yeah. So, what do you think?
Well, he seems like someone that could still be surprised. He's got a lot of experience, and I think it'll be. I guess if you're looking at it from Jared Anderson's point of view, like it'll be definitely a good learning fight. I'm always interested with this idea where you have someone at Jared Anderson's level, which he's ranked 17.
I would say he's in the probably now he's considered. Some people consider him top 10. Some people consider him top 30. I think he's probably if you're looking at it in terms of what he's done and how much he's moved forward, he's somewhere in the. I guess he's just entering the top 20.
Entering the top 20. So now, I guess the question as a casual fan, you know, because I read something where he's kind of looking at this fight saying, this is, I want to show that I'm a contender, not just a prospect.
Right.
What is the line for that? Like, you know,
I would say that Jerry Forrest, based on his recent performances, he does run a bit hot and cold. I should say hot and warm, you know, like he doesn't, if he were to do a number, on Jerry Forrest. Like Jerry Forrest doesn't get, you know, he was dropped by Zhang Zili three times, but then he fought on and it went to a draw.
Yeah.
So he can be, but Zhang Zili has showed a lot. So I think the fact that he did it doesn't mean it's an easy thing to do. I just think Jared Anderson is trying to come out there and if he blows Jerry Forrest away, then he is a,
So contender is just a broad term for showing that someone's they've taken enough hard fights that it's kind of like okay, this guy could actually compete for.
It's a contender, I mean, a contender is, I think, in the official sense, it would mean a fighter who is within the range, the understood range of being a contender for the title. I think it also is it's a perception thing in the sense that that top heavyweight would most certainly give a rough ride to any champion.
To any champion,
yeah. So I think that's what he's going to prove on Saturday night, according to him. Jerry Forrest.
If he does it, it's going to be.
Well, this will be if Jerry Forrest shows up in his top mode, and that's his mentality, that's his training, that's everything. We're in for a real treat. And again, this would be for Jared Anderson. This is one of these fights that, if there's any, I hate to say it, but any Daniel Dubois issues in terms of taking fire back, we're going to find out if Jerry Forrest is on.
Yeah.
And again, but it always comes down to one punch. That's why I give Daniel Dubois and anyone. There's no. It's just everyone can be hit the right way, and they'll go. Yeah. So it can happen to anyone. So this is a real test. I think it really comes down. I think Jared Anderson will show up at his best.
Yeah.
That's because he's being groomed for that, and he's getting ready. So, but I think Jerry Forrest, if he shows up, Lou Dabella backs him, and that's his promoter. So he's got people backing him as well. So it's worth watching Saturday night.
Definitely worth watching. Yeah. Definitely worth watching.
Anything else to talk about right now? Or are we?
I'm excited about some of the fights in January, but I still kind of want to look into some of the previous fights. For like, you know, I've been paying some attention to Ethan Jagba, and I'm excited about that fight very much. But you know, there's a few other fights that I think are interesting that are coming up that I'm not really at a point where I can talk about them.
I think we are at the end of TopHeavyweights.com, the podcast. I'm your host, Sean Rosen, and I'm here with the casual fan, Ryan Price. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.